Hey guys, and welcome to What Was Her Name? The show where I will uncover the stories of domestic abuse survivors. I'm your host, Maya Hoover. Hey guys, and welcome to What Was Her Name? My name is Maya Hoover, and I'm the host of the podcast, What Was Her Name? Today, I am on the podcast with a very brave individual who is joining me anonymous today. We're just going to call you Jill. I don't know what to call you. We're just gonna, if I refer to you, I'll just refer to you as Jill for some reason. That's the name that comes to my mind. But I'm really looking forward to just having this conversation. Thank you for joining me. So I think the initial question that we're all wondering is how you met this individual. So how did you guys meet?
So we actually graduated from the same high school, but I didn't meet him until about 3 years after I graduated, and we met on Bumble.
Okay. How long was the relationship?
Just about 3 years.
3 years. And were you guys married?
No, we were not.
You were not married. How long? No, I just asked that. Sorry. Can you describe how the relationship was in the beginning?
He was always buying me like gifts and bringing me flowers and just like always like kind of like very long text messages about how perfect I was and like how much he wanted me to be his girlfriend and just like a lot of love bombing and like made me feel very special at first.
Yeah. Did you ever question, like, is this love bombing? Or at the time, did you even know what that was?
I guess at the time, I like didn't really know what it was. And people started posting about like what love bombing was like a year into our relationship. And when I started seeing like threads about it on Reddit or whether it was on like Tumblr or Instagram, like it kind of made me think like, maybe like I was love bombed, but then I also kind of justified it like, oh, maybe he was just being really sweet and now he's not being sweet.
Yeah. I think it's always really interesting how in the beginning of a relationship, I mean, like we're always putting our best foot forward in the relationship. I would say that's pretty just general and normal. But I do think there's a difference in somebody masking characteristics or behavior that doesn't align with who they actually are versus like we all put our best foot forward and then at some point we all have shit that comes out and everyone has shit, but we all kind of just kind of figure out what shit you want to deal with and put up with and what you don't. And you work through things together as a couple versus like, okay, this person is portraying something that is not real. And then as the relationship continues, so the unraveling begins. And then often like the partner who like the woman who's being abused is trying to get back to that point where they try to get back to that person or the beginning of the relationship, how that person was. But what people don't realize until usually you're out is like that person's not coming back because that person wasn't actually real. Like that was a facade.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you first notice that something was wrong?
Probably when I was about 8 weeks pregnant with our daughter. He would go out and let me preface this by saying that he told me that he was going to stop drinking and using recreational drugs, and he would go out for like he'd go out golfing for the day and he'd tell me he'd be home by like 3 or 4, and then 3 or 4 would turn into like 8 or 9, and then 8 or 9 would turn into like 9 a.m. the next morning. And the first time that happened, I was kind of just like, okay, maybe like he like, I don't know, I was justifying his behavior for so long that it, like, I sound kind of stupid, like, saying it out loud, but I would just say, like, oh, maybe he, like, fell asleep at a friend's house where, like, but I knew he was with a friend that was choosing to make those same choices that he said he was not making. And that would happen pretty often. And then the night that I realized something was really, really, really wrong was when I was probably about 3 months pregnant at the point, and I had hyperemesis, and I was at home just like super, super sick. And he decided that he was going to go golfing again. And I like was blowing up his phone, just telling him like, hey, like, I think I need to go to the hospital. Like, something's not right. I'm really not feeling good. Like, I need you to come home. And he just never came home. And then when he did come home, it was probably like 1 a.m. and he puked all over my bed and peed all over the bed as well, and proceeded to pass out in both of those things. And when I tried to wake him up, he would not wake up, and because he was so obliterated. And by the time I did wake him up, he like got mad at me that there was puke on the bed because he thought it was for me. Mm-hmm. And I like asked him to get up and clean it up, and he would not get up and clean it up. And I had to clean it up while I was like puking my own brains out.
Right.
And that's when I like started to realize, like, okay, this person that he had portrayed to me, like, he like very connected to God, has a good relationship with Jesus, doesn't seek out like drugs and alcohol. Like, that's not who this person is. Like, it just wasn't who he was, who he had portrayed himself as for the first, like, so long of our relationship.
And at this point, like, do you feel like he himself realized that he had a problem, or do you think it's like is he an alcoholic, would you say?
I'd say, yeah, he was an alcoholic, and but like he would go days without drinking or weeks without drinking even. And then when he did drink, he would turn into this like monster that I wanted nothing to do with because he was so mean and so aggressive. And so like I didn't know when he was drinking,
right,
or if he was hiding it from me even. But yeah, I'd say he definitely has alcoholic tendencies.
Yeah. And so this was at the point when you first started to notice that something was wrong. Do you feel like from this point moving forward, was there just like continuous like situations outside of the drinking that was happening? If so, can you maybe share a couple of examples just of how the abuse started to manifest, really?
Yeah, so after that night, he said that he wasn't going to drink anymore and wasn't going to use like any drugs, like besides cannabis, because we were both like, I wasn't at the time, but I was okay with him using it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like was like, okay, that's fine, you can use it, but like I really would like to see like you work on this drinking issue that you have. And after that night, like he like bought me flowers the next day and like sent me a really long text, or wrote me like a really long like note about like how much he loved me, how much he couldn't lose me, like trying to kind of like make sure that I would stay with him. But then hours later, he would tell me that I was the problem, that it was me that was making him go drink because he was so stressed out about like how I was treating him. And it was just this like constant cycle of him fucking up and then like not remembering what he did the night before or the day before. And then the next day he'd feel guilty and buy me flowers or buy me a gift or take me to dinner somewhere nice. And the cycle just like started to like establish itself of him like getting upset with me about my own political views, because this was like at the beginning of when Trump and Biden were in the like candidacy for president. And I personally, like, he's a very conservative person, and I'm more so like, I just want everybody to have what they need to live. I don't really get into politics, and he didn't like that about me. And so he would always like try to bring that up, and I established a firm boundary of like, I don't want to talk about this because it's just going to lead to fights. And he would always like bring it up and say like, people like me were the problem in this country, and pretty much putting like every problem that he saw in the world onto me, and saying that like it was my problem, that like this was the way things were. And yeah, and then like he'd realize that he shouldn't have said that and buy me a gift. And anytime that like anytime we had a disagreement or something like that, like it was always my fault. But then he would try to make up for his actions the next day.
Right. Like he would try to kind of like smooth it over by.
Yeah.
And the phrase for this, are you familiar with this, like the cycle of abuse, like the wheel?
I've seen it before.
Yeah. I always think that's really interesting because, I mean, whether it's, I was just talking to a friend about this today, like whether it's romantic or even like familial abuse, that cycle of abuse is like so consistent, and it really is like, okay, there's a tense buildup and an explosion, whatever that may be, a fight or a physical altercation or some sort of drastic mood change, whatever the abuse is. And then after that is like the honeymoon stage where things are kind of mellowing out. And then you begin to think, oh, well, maybe they're going to change, or maybe that's a one-off, or well, maybe things are really going to be different this time. And then you get comfortable, and then boom, you're back in the cycle again. And it like never ends, but it's like very confusing when you're in it, when somebody is like circling back and trying to like resolve the problem in some way, shape or form, even if they're not really even aware that they have a problem, or they're like just a manipulative person and they're just trying to like smooth over the issue for the sake of continuing to manipulate you. It's really confusing when you're in that situation to like see straight.
It was very hard to see straight because I was that person that like, okay, like he's actually going to change this time. He like really meant that he was sorry and that like he's going to take these steps to get help and change. But then that phase would just end, and we would just like argue about little things, and then it would become a big thing. Mm-hmm. And his thing was that like I brought up like the past a lot, like whenever, like not always, but whenever we would like argue, or he would be like manipulative, or I could like kind of sense that he was gonna go out and drink, I'd like remind him like, hey, do you remember when this happened? Like, this is the reason that I feel so anxious about this, because I like, we have an infant and I can't have you coming home wasted when like she might need you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how would he usually respond to that?
He would get really upset that I would bring up the past and say that like we're moving towards the future and like the past is in the past and like we can't keep bringing it up. But that was like a really big thing for me, was that like I couldn't get past what happened in the past because I was so hurt, and like it was just this constant cycle. Like maybe if the cycle had ended, I could have gotten past what happened in the past, but it was like I couldn't get past it because I knew it was going to happen again.
Right. Yeah. How do you feel like this was like managed, or how did you cope with this? Like, I think while you're in the thick of it, I mean, even I think even that phrase, like, well, what's like it happened, it's in the past, it's like kind of like minimizes your experience, because while it did happen in the past, it's still very present and still something that is impacting you. And so I think it's hard when like you have a partner who is invalidating your feelings, essentially, which kind of sounds like what he did a lot of times.
Yeah, and that's exactly how it felt. Like, it was like he wasn't taking like my experience into it, because and I feel like that was hard for him to do, because half the time he didn't remember what happened. So like he didn't see me crying or locking myself in the bathroom just to get away from him, or like going on 6 mile runs at night because I just couldn't stand to be around him.
Wow. Yeah. I think that resonates and hits really deep. Because like I think in this space, like we share a lot about like abusive men and like the experiences that we have or the actions that they have, but I think really digging deeper into like how we handled those situations is actually a really important topic, because I think some of the most painful memories, even like in my own past with my ex-husband, it actually isn't really the abuse in and of itself, but the aftermath after, when I was like in the bathroom and locked myself in and was sobbing on the floor or behind a bed, weeping, or like you said, like out at night just to avoid being at home, like walking or doing whatever to just survive, like mentally. I think that hits really deep for a lot of people in this space.
Yeah. And a lot of my coping mechanisms, like, they really came in, like, as me just, like, pretty much dedicating my whole self and all of my energy to my daughter, just, like, looking at her and, like, knowing that, like, this was not going to be her future. And I had to do everything in my power to get us out of that house. Like, I just like pour everything into her. And I was a full-time student. I was working full-time. So like, luckily, I guess, like, that kind of kept my mind pretty busy. And I was almost like on like autopilot, like just like doing everything I could to hopefully get out of that house one day. And I started gardening so that like I didn't have to be in the house with him during the day even. And I would spend just like 12 hours outside in my garden, which was like maybe 50 feet by 10 feet. So like it wasn't a very big space, but like I made it, like I'm like put in so much work to it that like it was probably overbearing of my garden a little bit, like just like overdoing it. But that's how like I escaped, was just like always finding little projects to do, or like always finding something to do that did not involve him, that like I knew he would not want to be a part of.
Wow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I think it's interesting, like, just to know in which ways we coped, because I think it varies for each person in this space. I think it's really powerful. You said, like, you would find ways to, the ways in which you coped, like hobbies, were ways in which you knew he wouldn't want to be a part of. I think that's like super powerful, because I don't know. I think the way that like a woman copes in the middle of abuse can vary from, like, you know, for me, it was like, it was actually like a lot of it, I think, was like cooking and eating. And I like gained a lot of weight through that experience. And for a long time had to have like a, I had to like let go of that shame because I was like, you know, that helped me survive. Like my body was doing what it could to survive and it gained weight, but like cooking for me was something that I found a lot of joy in. And I think, you know, like you said, just gardening, right?
Yeah.
Is one of your examples. And so it's like just doing things to keep your mind preoccupied, but also like to separate yourself from that situation. It's just really, I think we all just have such different ways that we cope with it. Do you feel like there were unhealthy ways that you coped with it? I think the hobbies, I think that's really like finding ways to remove yourself from the situation, but also what are ways in which you look back and you're like, yeah, my body, like this was manifesting in my body in an unhealthy way. And I coped in this way that maybe wasn't the best.
I think looking back, like I always was like, picking at my skin or like biting my nails and just like trying to like have some sort of control over something. I would like, he didn't like when I spent money. So I'd go out and buy a bunch of food that like I knew I wasn't going to eat, like from restaurants, and more food than one person should need. But like, I would like stuff myself full. And I also did gain a lot of weight like when I was with him. But once I realized like how much weight I was gaining, it like kind of made me feel a little bit safer that like maybe he wouldn't want to touch me or like do things with me that like I didn't want to do. But that didn't end up working out, so I like ended up starting eating healthier again because I wanted to like be able to like have the strength or like be physically fit enough that like if he were to try to attack me, I'd be able to like withstand my own, like I'd be able to like withstand him, even though he's like a 300-pound guy who like has years of hockey experience and just like wanted to be able to defend myself against him. And another unhealthy way was like I was using a lot of cannabis, like more than I should have, because then that like made me like a parent that like wasn't super present with my daughter. And like just like anytime I could sleep or nap, like I was going to sleep or nap because I didn't have to think when I was sleeping. Like I could just kind of escape. And just like sitting in my car for hours on end, just like being not super productive and yeah, just like kind of like willowing away to nothing. It kind of felt like I was just like I didn't know if I was gonna like get out of there or not. And just a lot of like self-doubt and a lot of like picking at my skin or even like finding a hair on my body that didn't look right. I'd like pull it out because it was just something that I had control over.
How does it feel like I know where you're at now in like the process that you're at, like we've been on and off like talking about just your escape and like now where you're at and what's going on in life. And how do you feel hearing yourself talk about the ways in which you coped? Like, does that make you feel sad? Is it kind of like unreal to even realize that was your life? Like, what do you feel when you're talking about this?
I feel sad and also like a bit anxious. Like, why didn't I leave sooner? And just like a lot of like self-doubt almost, like, like a lot of sadness and just like kind of like disappointment in myself for like not I don't know. I did everything I could, but like, I guess not seeing the sign sooner and like just a lot of sadness and anxiety.
Yeah.
About who I was at that time. Like, I lost a lot of friends because I like distanced myself so much from them because I didn't want them to like know who he was. But looking back, like, I wish I would have like let my friends in because now like they left.
Your friends, like, they left during
they
that.
left yeah, like, I don't really talk to a lot of them anymore because like they got tired of me never showing up for them or like being there for them, because but like I never gave them the reason why I wasn't showing up for them.
Yeah. I think it's really valid to feel sad. And I ask that question because it's like, you know, I think giving yourself the space to recognize ways in which you've coped and then asking yourself, like, and tuning into your body of like, where am I feeling this emotion? And I feel, you know, I'm quoting you, like, I feel sad. I feel a bit, it sounds like a bit of shame, and regret. And I think it's important as like women who have survived traumatic experience to take a step back and get really honest with ourselves and allow ourselves that transparency to recognize how we feel about a situation that we've endured and experienced, and maybe our response to that trauma, and releasing ourselves from that. Because I think when we don't do that, we carry like that anxiety, or we carry that shame. And even though we may not realize it, we are allowing for that to like manifest in our lives. And I do personally believe it impacts the relationships we choose moving forward, our ability to like pursue our dreams and goals and believe in ourselves to really like fight for and cultivate a life. Like, and I think being in tune with like, and asking yourself, for those who are listening, like asking yourself how you feel about ways in which you responded and allowing yourself to be released from that, and kind of reshaping that in your mind. Because I think like let's take like the sadness. I think it's valid to feel sad about that because it is sad, like to know that you had to survive in those ways and it was manifesting in those ways is sad. But by the same token, it's also really empowering to be able to be out of that situation and to reflect and be able to identify the ways in which you coped that were unhealthy. Because at one point you couldn't do that. You had to step back and see it for what it was. And I think you were like too up close to be able to like really see how truly unhealthy it was and how truly unhealthy you were at that time because of the abuse that you were experiencing. And so I think it's empowering. I also think like, as far as like shame goes or regret, I think people who aren't aware of like, or maybe even just don't have the awareness about abuse, I think friends definitely come and go, but I think it takes a special kind of friend to weather abuse alongside of somebody. And I think one of the hardest and most treasured things about this is that, unfortunately, like, you will learn who your true friends are when you go through abuse, because a lot of people are going to leave, and a lot of people are going to say, well, what did she do wrong? Or, well, what's his side? Or, well, you know, why did she stay for that long? I'm tired of giving her advice because she doesn't take it. So therefore I'm going to remove myself from this friendship. And it's painful because you lose friends, but it's also really, I think, beautiful because it opens the way for you to find people who will be present with you. And it takes time. It took me years to find that community, but I am starting to find that. And now I'm like, the friendships that I wept over, I'm thanking the fact that they left, because I really didn't want to be surrounded by people like that anyways. And so just an encouragement for you or for other people who are listening, who are like, I feel so lonely, I don't have community, or I, you know, had these friends and I just didn't show up for them in this way. Like, you experienced something really fucking hard and there was no heads up to it. None. And yeah. Like, genuine, authentic friendship is weathering storms alongside of somebody. And it's really hard to find people who have integrity and who have empathy to weather storms with people. But they are out there. And I think if you're listening and you feel alone, like, it is definitely out there. And I think finding communities, even within the domestic abuse community, that have gone through the similar things, it's like, you guys have we have the same empathy for each other, because we're kind of like interlinked together. And so I think it's really beautiful how so many women end up finding each other. And most of my really good friends are survivors, because I've met them through this process, which is pretty cool. But I know it's like, it's hard and there's regret there, like you were saying, but I think it's actually quite a gift to have those people removed from your life, to be honest.
I'm definitely learning that, because it's like kind of opened up a space, or that space, for like someone who's more genuine and like has my best, like the best interest in mind, like, and realizes that like, not only did I have to get out of there safely, but I also had to get my daughter out of there safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What would you say was the climax of your abuse story? Like, the point in which, I think we all kind of have a climax where we're like, okay, like, this is not sustainable. Like, I need to like remove myself from this situation.
We couldn't even, like, him and I couldn't even talk to each other without having explosive arguments. So it just came to the point where we just weren't talking to each other at all. Mm-hmm. And then if I did try to like joke around with him, like when I made up my mind that I was actually leaving him, he had taken the bathroom door off the bathroom because he said that I didn't need privacy in there. And the night after he, or like not the right the night right after that, but a couple nights after that, like I was trying to like see, like I was just like joking around with him and I tried to tickle him and he threw a plate of chicken nuggets at me. Mm-hmm. And our daughter, who was just turning, she had just turned 2 at the time, she was standing right there. Mm-hmm. And I like looked at her and I looked at him and I just like thought, like, this is not like gonna work at all ever, because one, if she ever dated someone or chose to stay with someone, like even though they were an abusive person, like 1/10 to the degree that he was, I would be really like sad for her. Mm-hmm. And I don't want like her being with someone like him. And so and like the phrase that like girls grow up and date guys that are just like their dads, like, went through my head, because my dad is also like very verbally abusive and very like slams his fists on things. And I never saw him hit my mom, but I've definitely seen him make my mom cry more than once. Yeah. And I didn't want my daughter to grow up like watching me weeping because of the way her dad was treating me.
Right.
And so the climax was just like him taking my bathroom door off, and because I didn't need privacy, him telling me that I could no longer go for runs at night because he thought that I was cheating on him, even though he had my location and could see that I was literally running for 5 miles like around our city. And like when he said that, like, like I kind of was like my relationship with God was like wrong. Like I didn't have the correct relationship with God, I guess he thought. I that was the point that I was just like, yeah, this can't happen anymore. And all the previous times that he had abused me, like when I was pregnant and he dumped pasta all over the floor and told me that it was my job as a woman to clean it up, or the time that he pushed me and I almost fell down the stairs, or the time that he threw up in the bed, like that just like all replayed in my mind like a movie. And I just couldn't anymore. So at that point, I just got a storage unit and started telling him I was donating a bunch of stuff. And I don't know, even at that point, like I was still hoping he would make like this drastic change that like would show me that he was going to be a better man.
Right. Yeah. It makes me like emotional just because like I remember the night where you had texted me and you were like surprised that he threw chicken nuggets at you. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And I was like watching you I was watching the inward like turmoil of like, do I leave? Do I not? The hope of maybe things will get better. And I remember you said that to me and my heart sank because I mean, I knew obviously since I'm out and I'm also like not, I have no bias. I'm like, yeah, you should like leave this, like this guy's abusive and it's unhealthy. But for you watching that inward turmoil and watching you go back and forth, I was like hoping that would be what would like catapult you to like remove yourself. And I remember like you sending that picture of the storage unit and I cried because I was like, fuck, that's so beautiful. Like, it's like something that I remember you sent me the picture and I was like, this is like such a simple thing. It's like, oh, a storage unit. People would be like, yeah, I got a storage unit. It's like, what's the big deal? But it's like that storage unit represents so much for you because that was like an active decision and an active choice to believe in something more for yourself, and not only for yourself, but for your daughter outside of the abuse you're experiencing, which is so courageous and brave and goes far past the point of like, oh, it's a storage unit. No, this is actually like you choosing a better life for yourself and for your daughter. And that was a massive moment. And I knew like she is gonna get out. And I don't know. It's just funny, not funny, but it's like wild to like listen to you talk about this because like you're out now, but it's like that, like you're out now, but it's crazy to think like how much happens within that time frame and like how the more that you're out, the more that you see what happened and you're like, man, like this makes me so sad that I didn't see this in it. And now I'm out and I'm like, what the fuck was I doing? Why didn't I just leave sooner? You know?
Yeah. Exactly. And like, I think that I hope that like, if he like had a relationship with Jesus, that like he would sort of, I don't know, like God would redeem him sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But like, I was like, I had a really close relationship with Jesus, like when I first started dating him. And then like, once the abuse started, I just was like, yeah, like really angry at God and just like couldn't really understand. Like I just felt really far from God, like I wasn't talking to him enough, or like maybe this was the lesson I had to learn or something like that. But I couldn't understand why, because I had already experienced a lot of grief in my life. And I like, once I kind of removed myself from like talking to him about God or everything like that, like he like started asking me if I would go to church with him or if I would do a Bible study with him. But like at that point, like I was kind of embarrassed to be with him. And I like, even though like God knows all and can see all, like I didn't want to like study the Bible with him, or I didn't want to go to church with him, because like I felt like his relationship with God was like kind of not fake, but like also like, this is what she wants. Like, I'll show her that I can like talk to God too. Mm-hmm. And so like, and even now, like he's very, like seems to be very into faith and into his faith and like very close to Jesus. But like, it's also like, it's hard to see it as genuine, and like he does it for a show sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But also like, I didn't, it was like embarrassing to just like stay there.
Yeah. So like removing yourself from the abuse, and you got the storage shed. Can you explain what challenges that you've faced thus far in the aftermath?
So when I first got the storage unit, like I was doing like a lot of lying, and I've never really been like a dishonest person before that, because like he would ask me where I was taking stuff, and like, oh, I'd be like, oh, I'm just donating it. Like, I don't need it anymore. I'm just trying to like pare down on stuff. And I was doing a lot of lying to my family, because at this point, like they didn't really know that I was going to be moving out. And then just like a lot of like becoming like my own adult sort of thing, because I've been with him since I was like 21 years old, just barely drinking age. And now I'm almost 26, and it's like learning to like be in charge of like my own self has been really difficult. And now that like I'm fully removed from him, and like he gets our daughters some nights of the week when he decides that it's a good night for him, pretty much, it's like, it's difficult because he's been really nice, and like I can see that he's like trying to get me back kind of thing. But also like, it's hard for me to like now that I'm talking about it, like it's not hard for me to remember the abuse, but like I've removed it from my brain, or tried so hard to like forget about it, because like I wanted to move forward with my life, that it's like, oh, maybe he is actually being nice. Like, and it's hard, because also like our daughter, she can talk now, and she like asks why we don't live with daddy, or like why she can only see daddy on certain days, or like why some of her friends, like I remember this past Monday, one of my friends watched her, and she's with her husband, and they both watched her, and she was confused as to why like her son had a mommy and a daddy in the home, because like my daughter, she probably doesn't like really she might remember it, she was two, but like she doesn't like have that as like her current experience. So just like a lot of sadness for her, more so like,
yeah,
like it's hard for me to feel sad for myself, because like I don't know, it's not the worst I had been through in life, and so like I couldn't justify being sad about it. And even now, like I'm getting emotional, but it's like I feel shame for being sad about it, because it's not the worst that I've been through. And just like constantly trying to remind myself that like he might be being nice now, but like he is trying to like manipulate me and like emotionally manipulate me, or just like kind of get me back, but because like in between the niceness, he'll tell me that like I threw our family away, or that like being a family was just so too hard for me, that like it's not something that I can do, that I'm not capable of it. And just like living life as a single mom is fucking hard. Like getting her up every day in the morning before I go to work, like taking her to work with me, because like she goes to the school that I work at and we have to be there by 7:30. And before this, like she could sleep in until 9 and her dad would take her to daycare because he was working from home. And so like it's just a lot of change for her. And that's probably the hardest part of the aftermath, is like seeing her little brain trying to understand this whole thing, and then like me trying to decide if like I want to set up a custody agreement, because like I don't want to force her to go over there. And or like even with child support, like I filed for child support, but they tried to call me yesterday and I didn't answer, because I'm hoping that like he'll just like agree to help me pay for her living expenses, sort of thing. But like, and like he's being nice now, and I don't want his like him getting served child support papers to start making him mean again. Like I think I just have like a lot of wishful thinking and like kind of like naive thinking that like I need to get my own head out of my ass and see it for what it is.
I think that it's completely normal. I know that it's completely normal to grieve an abusive relationship. And I think one of the most mind-bending things coming out of abuse is when you watch someone. It's like, okay, somebody initially acts a certain type of way, and that's why you date them. Like you would never just date or fall in love with an abusive asshole. Like it is a progressive like pattern. It happens over time. It takes time. And then when you leave them, finally, you're like distraught. Your mind's all over the place. You're like, you know, you have all of these things manifesting in your body. Like it's just, you're a mess. And then that you watch that person almost like transform back into the first person you knew them to be, or even better. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wait, like, did I make that up in my head? Or like, wait, am I the problem? Or is my perception off? Or like, should I go back? Are they better now? Like, and it's just all like, am I selfish for leaving? That's a big thing with kids. It's like, am I selfish for leaving? Like, this kid would benefit from father and mother. Like, can I handle the result of having shared custody? Like, and all of these things start to like spin around, and it's so normal and it's so hard. Like you said, it's fucking hard. It is fucking hard, especially if you don't, I don't know what like the familial situation fully looks like, but it's different for all of us. But a lot of people end up back with their families, and a lot of people come from broken homes, abusive homes themselves, whether that's emotionally abusive or just maybe unhealthy family dynamics. And I think it's like really hard to rebuild your life, to feel the regret of leaving, and then watching somebody who caused so much pain then act seemingly like nothing happened and like you're the problem. And be able to kind of just do this little pony show around people that makes people think they're just the bee's knees and they're actually like kind of terrible. So I can resonate very deeply in that. And I just want you to know that that is very normal, unfortunately. But it does get better. And I remember on the day that I got divorced, like officially, because my ex-husband tried to withhold getting a divorce. So even though he had signed the papers, because it was like an international divorce, there was a long process. So I was married to him for like a year after, even though we were legally separated. and he was making it extremely difficult to get divorced. And so the day that I finally, everything was like in order, and I took the papers and they were signed, but I had to get them notarized. I remember sitting in the parking lot, and this was like a year and a half later, and I had this wave of shame. And this tiny little voice telling me I needed to go back. Like I had made a mistake. And I felt this grief of like, this was the person I loved, the person that I made a child with, the person who is the father of my kid. And it's really over. And thinking like, should I go back? And I'm like, yeah. What the fuck am I? Like, well, literally, what am I? I remember sitting there in the car and like nearly slapping myself. Cause I was like, get out, like snap out of it. Like, get out of this, because this is just, this is so normal, but it's also like, you have to like stand in front of those thoughts and really question them and really remind yourself what happened to you and the experiences that you had that were real, because they start to over time almost feel like, did that really happen? Or like, how are they acting so normal? Or just so good? Am I the problem? And it becomes like a mind fuck. And so I remember sitting there though, and like reminding myself of everything that happened, everything that he put me through, all of the abuse, all of the, his issues, and then feeling so confident that I made the right decision, and really just sending that shame into the pit of hell and being like, that is not happening. Like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so, I think all that to say, that's super normal. And that's why I think it's also important to have community around you who knows your situation and can be a reminder for you, like, hey, don't forget, like, this happened and this happened. What is something that you can do now that you couldn't do then that you're grateful for?
Going to like concerts and like spending time with like the friends that like I do still have, because like I wasn't really allowed to do that before, because like he wasn't into it and I was cheating on him if I wasn't doing something with him. But just like I went to a concert this past Saturday, and it was just like the best feeling ever. Just like seeing everybody like dancing and like just like there out of pure joy and like experiencing that again, or even like camping, and just like having like my own thoughts again, like, oh, I want to take a bath and shut the door. I have a door to shut. I can shut it. Like, just like kind of like being able to like do what I want without having to ask permission for it first.
Right. Yeah. I think that's beautiful. I think it's crazy the things that we're grateful for after, and you don't realize, like, I don't know, like the longer that you're out, like, I'm just excited to see the process, like the longer that you're out, like it literally like makes me, I don't know why, I get emotional every episode, but I think just because I like seen, like I've seen you in it and then out of it. And like, it's like, I don't know, I'm just excited for you to continue to like move forward. Because like the more time that goes on, I can't lie. Like, shit's hard. Like, this are some of the hardest years of my entire life being out. But like every time that things are really hard, I'm like, well, I could be with him still. So could be worse. It really could be worse. And it does really get easier in the sense that like your mind starts to like unfreeze and thaw out. And eventually you're like, it's so clear to you, like what's happening. And that's when the real cultivating starts, the real power and the bravery and the courage and the badassery, because it's like, you're like, yeah, I will never go back. And even if shit is hard, or I have to live with my parents, or all my stuff's in the storage unit, like I did something really brave and really hard. And those little things that now you value, I think they only increase. And there will come a point in time where like you're going to be able to walk alongside other people and share your story, and it won't be in vain. And I don't know, it's just really, really beautiful.
I think so too.
My last thing, and then I have to go because I got to actually pick up my little one from preschool, is what are your visions and dreams moving forward?
So I'm a teacher, and I want to like open like a nature school, like where kids can like come to the forest and just like learn about like anything nature, like where our water comes from, or like why the leaves fall on the ground in the fall and they stay there all winter, but like you come to summer and like a lot of them have disintegrated into soil, and just like more traveling, even if it's just like within my own state to like the Upper Peninsula, or like just like creating this life for my daughter that like I didn't have, like a safe home, a quiet home, a home where there's like no screaming unless like something terrible has happened, like someone's life is on the line, or just like moving forward with my life with like courage and confidence that like I can do this on my own, like even if it's like hard, like during the holidays, like when her birthday's coming up, like I don't know like how we're going to celebrate it, or like how Christmas is going to be done, or New Year's, or anything like that, like just like having the confidence and courage to know that like even though I might not know everything right now, like God's got a plan for me and he will show it to me as like I need to know it.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I think like there's just so much in store for you and your child. And I know that like at some point, like our children are going to look back and be grateful that you left. Because I think there's a lot of parents in like older generations that did not leave and didn't feel like they were, like, I don't think they really would have survived if they left. And I think we're in a time right now where, I mean, abuse is being talked about publicly, advocating. There's a lot of advocacy happening, a lot of like legislator, like that's changing, and legislation that's changing. And it's like, you know, I think that people are making waves and advocating in a way that's making waves. And so I think like by leaving, like you're showing like your daughter that like one day at one point, like she doesn't need to abandon herself. And It's really heartbreaking to know of like mothers and grandmothers who stayed in abusive relationships because they didn't feel like they had the option to leave or the awareness to even recognize what truly was happening to them. And so I think it's really brave, and I'm excited to just see what's in store for you. And I do believe that God has good plans for you and, for both you and your daughter, and you're cultivating something for her. And one day she will look back on this and be grateful. And I think you're also instilling like an integrity and a character. Like, I think it says a lot, like, I don't know, like for your daughter at one point to look back on this and to know the story and be old enough to know the story, you know, when she's an adult, like, I think there's going to come a point where it really is like you're instilling something in her as well, like these values within her, so that at some point, like she can like look and reflect back on what her mom did to like stand up for herself and be brave and be courageous and do the hard things and cultivate a life and get her hands dirty and be a single mom and like weather the storm and all of the things. So You're an incredible mama, and I'm just super grateful that our paths crossed and that you came on and shared your story today.
I am super grateful that our paths crossed as well. Thank you for having me also.
Yeah, of course. I feel like this episode was supposed to happen the way it did. Some things were sort of like falling through, and you came on and came here and shared your story. And like I see every single season this happens, and the 12 slots like are always fit with the right people. So you are meant to be on this episode, on this season, season number 5. So yeah, super grateful for you.
Thank you so much. I'm super grateful for you too.
All right, guys, tune in next Thursday for the next episode. Just a quick side note. I did want to say something really quickly. As you know, the Spotify Wrapped just came out. If you're a Spotify user, it's always really exciting to see all of the music that we listen to, and kind of just, it gives us an idea of all of our favorite things happening within the year. But I just am really overwhelmed looking at the analytics and seeing that What Was Her Name has grown tremendously. And last year it was streaming in 26 countries in the first year. So as a domestic abuse podcast, it really is like such a specific niche that I think growing a podcast like this could be difficult, because it really is catered towards an awareness, bringing an awareness of domestic abuse. And so let alone it being in the first year, streaming in 26 countries was incredible. And then this year, I just found out that it's streaming in 53 countries, which is mind blowing. And I just want to say thank you and just extend gratitude for being in this space. This podcast has changed my life and honestly just kept me going. And I know that we couldn't share stories here if it weren't for listeners showing up and listening to these stories. And you really are, in a way, like, whether you realize it or not, helping people not feel alone and like their story wasn't in vain. So I just want to say, if you have been listening to What Was Her Name over the last 2 years, last year, last month, thank you for being here. I'm super grateful. If you have a story that you'd like to share, you can always apply for future seasons, and we will continue next week with the next story. Love you guys.
Like, and I believe that God uses our stories, you know. I don't have to, like, I don't necessarily question that, but just like curious, like, you know, God, how are you going to use this? Like, how are you going to how is this going to play into your kingdom and in loving loving other people and teaching other people that your love is so much bigger than sometimes what I think it can be broadcasted as in the church setting and around marriage and things like that. So maybe that looks like working in a domestic violence center or like helping victims of abuse in some way. I've thought about like foster care, even, and like these are just like really big level. Like, I'm not pursuing any of these right now at this moment necessarily, but like, just like this curiosity of, I want this to, I want, especially other women in the church, I don't want them to feel like this is all there is to life. And like, I know we are not the only people that have been married to seemingly great Christians that turn out to be like this. And I think just, I don't know, like, I want to be that open space for women that's like, I feel like no one else understands or is like giving me the support to like figure out what is next and like best for myself. And I just like want to be a part of that, in some way, like whatever that looks like. So that's just like high level dream of like, God, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you, how are you going to use this? How are you going to redeem my story and intertwine it with other people, and their stories? So, yeah.
It's beautiful. I think you also have like a really beautiful stance because you are pastors, you were a pastor's wife. And the more that you unpack, I think you'll be able to speak on that. And you have like a unique story and stance. And so I think, I don't know. I think that I just think it's really beautiful, and I think you're going to be a great advocate for others along the way. And I'm excited to like see that. I'm really happy just that we like cross paths. It's always unfortunate that it's because of abuse, but I think that's the greatest things, like that what Was Her Name has brought is like there are just so many heroes in this space and women that I genuinely look up to. And it's just so beautiful to be connected to all of these amazing, brave, courageous women. And so you're one of them. And I'm happy that you are here and that I get to like hold your story in this space for more people to listen to and re resonate and relate to. So I think you're already starting that advocacy now as you come here to this space and leave your story here.
Thank you. I hope so. I hope the right people are hearing this and not feeling like they're alone, you know?
100%. All right. Well, thank you for coming.
Woohoo.
We're finished. I'm grateful for you being able to share your story, and I'm looking forward to just, more friendship with you and just really hearing your story along the way and being able to, walk with you through it. It's a lot and it's hard, but I'm very proud of you, and I think, like, I don't know. I know God has you and your daughter in his hands, and he is protecting you. And I know this is not something you probably ever thought you would walk through. There are so many who have walked through it before you and me for the last 3 years. So, I mean, we've already talked a lot about how, yeah, we've talked already about like how it's like, it's helpful to talk to people who've been through things a little bit before you. But anyways, all right, guys. Well, this concludes the episode. There is not going to be an episode tomorrow for Thanksgiving. This is going to just be that bonus episode, and then we will start up again next Thursday. I hope everybody has a good Thanksgiving. I'm super grateful that you're here in this space. If you feel like What Was Her Name has impacted your heart, if you could go to Apple Podcast and write a review and rate it both on Apple Podcast and Spotify. That helps just to increase people to be able to see this and come across this podcast. And yeah, if you have any questions or want to reach out or have anything to say to Brittany, feel free to message me and I can pass along all of that information to Brittany. Yeah, thanks for being here. We couldn't do it without you guys.